The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. We examine the train of life. The first truck/car must be truth. Even over love. Also, how do we biblically move the truth from our minds to our hearts? And if we are Bible believers, what can help us demonstrate that?
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Any topic is open for conversation, especially prayer requests and praise reports. Remember, it's not professional radio. It's definitely not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. First and foremost, let's give acknowledgement to sponsorship where sponsorship is due. We'll start off with Clint from Mr. Restore.
Here I come to save the day. Yes, sir, when there is a wrong to right, he gets the situation well in hand.
Fire and water damage cleanup, sewage removal, other restoration services in and around the Dallas area, the Fort Worth area, the Denton area, the Grapevine area, the whole area, even Amarillo, even Colorado maybe. Ooh, that's amazing. Here's the bottom line. Free evaluations, advanced drying technologies. They work with all insurance companies. They're A-plus rated on the BBB, 50 years of restoration experience, family owned and operated, 24/7 emergency response and on-site within 60 minutes and thousands of happy customers. Now, MrRestore.com is the place you want to go. If you are a real estate agent and you know that there's some homes that are having some problems and need some work, if you are a person that has a house that's had damage, you want to absolutely, positively, wholeheartedly get in touch with Mr. Restore. MrRestore.com. 877-631-7576. That's 877-631-7576. Clint at MrRestore.com. All right. How you doing, Wonder Julie? Things going good for you?
It's a good day.
It's a good day. It's Wednesday. It's a good day. Right? That's kind of one of the ways I want to look at this. Wednesday, middle day, the middle of the week, we're thinking getting closer.
Yeah,
getting closer to Thursday and to Friday. I kind of disagree with some people, but people always go Friday's the best day. I don't think Friday is the best day, just to let you know. I think Thursday night is the best day.
And why?
The reason I think Thursday night is the best day is simple. Thursday night's the best day because you know Friday's coming. So you are going into it going, I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. So it's kind of like a motivator. That's kind of how I look at that. What do you
and
think?
And the worst day, Monday.
I got nothing on that. I'm not supposed to say something negative about Monday. Anyway, yeah, it does end with Y. Why? Why is there a Monday? Yeah. That's what I want to know.
Just kind of shuffle through. Then Tuesday, you start to ramp up to Wednesday.
There you go. And here we are at Wednesday. See how this works, folks? Don't forget, we had a really great interview the other day with Pastor Morris, who talked about taking one day off a week, getting ourselves together. That's always a good idea. We want to try and get that done. Here is something that people might not know about today. Do you know what today is? Today is a fancy day. Well, I don't know about fancy. Do you know what today is?
What day is it?
It's Boss's Day.
Oh, does that mean I get to boss you around?
Yeah. That's it. That's it right there. That's it. I'm going to go with you get to boss. It's Boss's Day. And how I know it's Boss's Day is because my wife works at a flower place, okay, at a flower shop at Tom Thumb. They had to do all of these flowery things for bosses. I guess that's cool. You know, I mean, if I'm a boss, I wouldn't mind getting flowers. Personally, I'd rather have candy. But hey. Who am I? Maybe a couple of deep fried tacos. Who am I?
Cheeseburger.
What do I know?
All on
you
my
know?
List.
I'm a boss. Maybe a pizza. I don't know. Could be. Anyhow. All right. Let's get into one thing I do want to tell you. It's also Dictionary Day for those that don't know. I'm not going to say a lot of words about that. But the bottom line is if you've ever heard, you may have heard of a game we used to play it about 30 years ago called Fictionary. Not Dictionary, Fictionary. You ever heard of Fictionary? So for those that are trying to figure out an entertaining game that doesn't cost you any money, you get a dictionary, you get a bunch of little pieces of paper, and you get a pen or a pencil, and then somebody reads, one person's the moderator per round, and they read a word, and the goal of the game is to write a definition as close as is possible to the real word, but not actually the definition, and then you vote on it at the end. So the whole cost of the entire game runs right about the range of, a dictionary, some pencils and pens, and some pieces of paper. I feel like that's something people can do. I feel strongly about that. Enjoy Dictionary Day by perhaps playing Fictionary. All right, let's get into our teaching, which is what we want to do. I want to talk to you a little bit about the mind and the heart and the train of life. So here is what we've got going on. I want to give credit where credit is due. On Sunday, there was a real good service that we went to. It was a Lake Point church, and it was good, primarily because the younger pastor reminded me of some material that I had read a long time ago in a book from Watchman Nee. And the premise of his message had to do with facts, faith, and feelings. And I just want to discuss that for a little bit. Don't want people to go nuts. Here you go. John chapter 8, verse 32. Probably not a coincidence that this was exactly lined up in my devotions today. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. By the way, the word will set is a future indicative term, which means that it will take place. It doesn't always take place instantaneous. Many times it's a process. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. For those that are unaware, this is a highly abused phrase, a highly abused quote that people will always say, yeah, tell the truth and you'll be free. It's like, no, that's not what it is at all. You shall know the truth that Jesus Christ is the Lord, and then you will be set free from all of the things that sin brings into your life, including bondages and depressions and discouragements and penalties. And so that's the freedom that Jesus is talking about. So you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Cool. Got it? That's what Jesus said. In context, we understand that the truth is that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, the life, and no man comes to the Father but through him. Got it. Then the scripture says in the same gospel, John 17:17, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. So we get a definition of what truth is, because people will say, well, okay, the truth sets me free. What's the free? It's the God. What's the truth? It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, how do I get a whole bunch of truth? The word of God is truth. Sanctify them by thy truth. Your word is truth. God's word is the truth. There you go. Not complex. Walking with that. I can understand that. Great. The question is, how well do we process the truth. 1 John chapter 3, verse 12, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 through 2 say, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is." The hardest thing for us to do is process, now we are children of God. Because most of us feel like children of our circumstance, children of our situation, children of this element or that element, children of work, children of pay the rent, children of pay the mortgage payment, children of pay the car payment, pay the insurance, pay the health insurance. We feel like we're children of our health issues. But the truth says that we are, in fact, children of God now. Wow. Now we are children of God. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. The problem is, how well do we process that? The answer is not that well. Unfortunately, oftentimes we don't process that as well as we ought. Now, the Word of God is alive, and we need to engage the Word of God with faith. And that's going to be, of course, always our starting point in the sense of, once you get to truth, once you get to facts, which is truth, then you want to mix in faith, because truth without faith isn't doing you any good. Hebrews 4, 1 through 2, "Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you have fallen short of it. We also have had the good news proclaimed to us just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed it." When you have the truth, you have to mix it with faith. Let me make this really easy. Have you ever seen quick dry cement? It's a powder. And you put the cement in whatever. You put it in a bucket or you put it in a bowl, whatever. Put it in a trough, whatever. Guess what? You got to add something to it. If you just put the powder there and then try and stick something in there, it just falls over. Have you noticed that? It just falls. It just goes. Pfft. You have to add water to quick drying cement so that it becomes quick drying cement. In other words, it doesn't work without the addition of the oil. You got cement, then you got the water, and if you don't put them together,
concrete.
Yeah. I mean, there it is, right? It's powder. When you get it, I did an 80-pound bag the other day, so I know it was kind of. Here's the bottom line, right? You got to mix your truth with faith. Faith is your water, right? Truth is your concrete powder, right? Put them together. Well, you get cementy stuff there. See, I is a gardener. How am I doing? Stop laughing at me. All right, here we go. We're going to take a break, come back, and see what we got to add to that. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Hey, Frank.
Hey, Johnny.
How's retirement?
Well, I have to be at work at 7:30 in the morning.
Whoa, Frank. I thought you were retired.
Yeah, well, I didn't do a good job keeping my money safe, and when the market dropped, I lost half my money, so I had to go back to work.
So now what?
Well, you can have fries with that.
No, Frank, that's not what I mean. People have problems all the time. They make mistakes, but what are you going to do about it now?
Who's
going to
help me in my position? My finances are a mess.
You need my guy. Contact Jamie Blumenthal from Retirement Strategies and Solutions. He and his wife Nancy have helped over 600 clients just in the Dallas area. If he can help you, he'll let you know, and he won't charge anything for you to find out.
How do I get a hold of him?
Go to his website, retiretherightway.com. That's retiretherightway.com. You can also call him at 800-287-1667.
Thanks, Johnny.
No problem, Frank. Remember, plan right, retire right, retire the right way, my friend. Get in touch with Jamie today.
What is the David Spoon experience?
John 7:24, stop judging by mere appearance and make a right judgment. That's all good. For 1 Corinthians 6:2, do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if you are to judge the world, are you not competent to judge trivial cases? You can't say Christians can't judge. They're commanded to. Here it is right here. Ready? Here's the bowling ball knocking down the pins. Every day as Christians, we have to judge what is appropriate, proper, healthy, and useful. Also, what people we believe we should hang out with, trust, believe in, or let influence, we have to judge that on a regular basis. When you choose your church, you're using your judgment abilities.
Bazinga.
I love that. Because listen, when you're choosing your church, you have to decide to pick one over another. Oh, here's the key. You're going to hate me. Ready? Here it is. If we have no ability to judge, we can't vote.
It's incredible, and it's never been done before. And you can be the first person in your neighborhood to win.
What is it?
It's a contest.
How do I play?
It's simple, and there's three ways to win. You can go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media, and on any Facebook post, type in the word Jesus in the comment section, and it's free. You can also send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and write the word Jesus in the subject line. Or you can go to YouTube and give a comment on any video, but you have to use the word Jesus. This is your chance to win, and it's free.
What do I win?
You can win 100 thank yous right on air. It's incredible. It's unbelievable, but it's only for a limited time. Enter now. Here's a taste. Thank you for listening to the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. If you want to reach us, davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Also, our website, davidspoonmedia.com, which I spent about 5 hours redoing a lot of this stuff, so it kind of looks a little cooler, and everything has a little bit of a link to it. It's very lively, like a carnival. It's 'cause I can't have it boring. I need high level of entertainment, high level of things bouncing all over the place. That's just who I am, folks. This segment brought to you by our good friend, Jamie Blumenthal. Jamie and Nancy Blumenthal, presidents of Retirement Strategies and Solutions. Their number 800-287-1667. Jamie will be in studio on Friday. 800-287-1667. They're really committed. They've helped hundreds and hundreds of families in the Texas area. Okay? And they're committed to helping people have safety as they're heading into and are into retirement. They just want to keep the money safe. They say they can get a 7% return keeping it 100% safe, which is, you know, I mean, if you go to the bank, you can get a percent of nothing. You can get a 0.5%. You can't even get a toaster anymore. Remember the days when you'd open an account and you get a toaster? Those days are gone. Remember that you'd use the toaster for Pop-Tarts? Those days are gone. Here it is. You want to go to retiretherightway.com. That's retiretherightway.com. Plan right, retire right, retire the right way. Get in touch with Jamie. Tell him you heard it here on the David Spoon Experience. Let's get ready. We got the, hopefully, now we've got the Facebook back up and we've got sound attached to it. So we're hoping that people can hear what's going on through the sound system. $6.54 for a cord that I probably could have done about 6 months ago. Whoops. Anyhow, let's talk about our first trivia question. We didn't get it answered yesterday, so it's got to be answered today because we cannot go on in trivia without understanding the answer to this question. How many husbands did the Samaritan woman at the well have in her lifetime? When she had that discussion with Jesus pointed out how many husbands she had. How many was it? It's in the Gospel of John. That's all I'm going to tell you there. Our number here, 972-445-0770.
Our internet went out again.
Goes in and out, what are you going to do? That's our number here, 972-445-0770. That's the number. It's a simple question. How many husbands did the Samaritan woman at the well have in her lifetime, so to speak? Like lifetime, see what I'm saying? Lifetime, so to speak, kind of thing. There you go. All right. Looks like we already have an answer. That's because we're not messing around today. Today's Wednesday. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, David. It's Sam. How are you?
Hey, Sam. How you been, brother?
Oh, very good.
Right, last time I heard you, you were like in an airplane. I couldn't hear you. It was like
yeah, that was a Russian plane. So
oh, okay.
Yeah. So I there was a little collision, so that's why I got stuck in that Russian plane.
Got it. That's a good one, brother. That is really funny.
All right. So she has five husbands.
That is correct. You are right. She had five husbands, and the person that she was with, as it's indicated, wasn't really her husband. So that means that she now think about that. In today's society, five husbands would be a lot. But back then, that would be like having 10 or 15 husbands. That was just like outrageous from their point of view, in the sense of how the Jewish people would have thought of that. They would have thought, what are you talking about? You know, you had that many husbands. That's powerful. Good job. Did you have to look that up at all, Sam, or did you kind of know that off the top of your head?
No, I just knew that.
Yeah. Yeah. But you're smart that way. See?
Oh, thank you.
I mean,
David, I just want to share with you, a few weeks ago, I was just praying for you. So I feel like you are a Tom Landry for us, the radio audience. Probably you know Mr. Tom Landry, the Cowboys coach.
Yes.
For 29 seasons. Even though I don't like Cowboy, but I like that coach. Yeah.
Because he
was a very legendary, and because that name just came while I was just praying for you, and I felt like a Lord, why this name? Because I felt like a Lord was telling me to tell you that as he was so legendary and he introduced so many new techniques to the Cowboys or the football game, and for the body of Christ, you are the person who is motivating people to do to see with a new perspective, or so that their scale of from their eyes will fall so they could see clearly what God is trying to tell them or teach them in a very our time, not what was happening in the past, but today. You know, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I was so thankful to God for you, because you are really blessing a lot of people through this channel. So I just want to say I love you and keep it up the good work.
Thank you, my brother. That's very, very kind. And I'll send you your $20 later. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, no, you already gave me $50.
Oh, that's true. Good point. Good point. Excellent point. Anyway, thank you, brother.
Well,
that's
be
very
blessed,
kind.
Brother, and keep it up the good work.
All right. Thank you so much. That's so kind of you. I appreciate it, Sam. All right. That was great. What a nice – that's always nice to hear. You know, it's very encouraging. You know, we go through trials and tribulations. My wife, by the way, she worked 13 hours yesterday, which was a lot, right? Now, you work 12 hours every day, don't you? Or you work
yes,
really close.
Pretty much.
We're not used to that. That's the only line I'm giving you. And then when you do that and you're not as young as you used to be, you're like going, what is this?
Well, she was probably also on her feet all day and
all
I am
day,
not.
All day. I mean, she had all
I talk all day.
Yeah.
But I don't have to stand up and do it.
You are pretty amazing. That is pretty amazing that you can do what you do. I give you all the props in the world. We're like going, uh-oh. That's what we do. We go to bed at 9:30, but we don't go to bed because we have to. We go to bed because we want to. That's not bad. But we did get up at five. No, it's not like you, but we get up at 5. That's early. Seems early. The dog thinks it's early. That's all I'm going to tell you. The dog's like, you guys just sleep till 8:30. What are you doing? All right. Let's go back to it. Thank you, Sam, for that comment. We got about 3 minutes or 4 minutes, and I want to try and get some of this in. So I want you to understand that truth and faith, you mix them together. Okay, and by understanding that, it's really important to get that you can see the you'll be sitting there thinking, well, why in the world is truth in front of anything? Why is truth in front of love? I'm going to tell you very specifically, biblically, theologically, why truth is in front of love, because the definition of love based on mankind's definition is horrible. Okay, God's definition of love is perfect. The sacrificial giving for the benefit of others. God didn't accept you as you were, or Christ would not have been the sacrifice given for you. If you were fine the way you were, no sacrifice would have been needed. That is not the case. And so God's definition of love and man's definition of love is not the same, which is why truth has to be in front of love. You get that? And so you have to have that truth, and you got to mix it with faith. So it's really important to understand that if you take truth and you mix it with faith, you get something concrete, like we were talking about that concrete example. Because in reality, Watchman Nee brought up a great point. He said facts have to be in front of faith, which have to be in front of feelings. People don't like that. They like to run it by their feelings. This is the way I feel about it. Well, your feelings are fantastic. They just can't be the lead. They can't be the engine on the train. They're a part of the train. They just can't be that engine. We've talked about that before. But having said that, there is a way to impact your feelings with the truth. There's a way to use faith and truth and have it be an impact on your feelings. You're not going to believe what I'm going to tell you, and I got to be really careful how I do it because I don't want you to get weird on me, okay? I want you to be careful. But the truth is, Proverbs 18:21 says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. There is a truth that things that we say have a correlation. We're going to go into the theology of this in the next segment. Have a correlation. Watch that word. They have a correlation to the things that we believe. So the question is not, where is the truth? The word of God is truth. The question is, we have to use faith, and that faith has to mix with the truth. So it has to be truth, and then it has to be faith, and those feelings need to follow. What can we do to impact our feelings? You're not going to change your feelings. If you eat bad fish, you're going to feel like you're going to die. Okay, I'm just saying, if you eat like I said before, 900 tacos and 30 churros and 22 Mountain Dews, you're going to feel a lot of things, but you're not going to feel the love of God. That doesn't mean the love of God doesn't exist. You're just not going to feel it at that moment, or maybe for a week or so, depending on your digestive system. Bottom line, we got to bring something in that helps us deal so that the feelings don't overwhelm when we come back. I'm actually going to talk about that. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water damage, call Mr. Restore.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Do you think it's been, organizational leadership has been a good thing for church leaders?
I'll tell you what, it's a penetrating question. The answer is very simple. If used correctly to add value to people and serve others, it's a good thing. If used incorrectly, it's not a good thing. And, when people talk about everything rises and falls on leadership, I teach them often that it rises, but it also falls. And nothing is better than for people to have a good leader, and nothing's worse than for people to have a bad leader. And the to me, what makes servant leadership work is this. Most leaders put themselves first before their people. And so it is a me motivation as far as leading. What's in it for me? I travel internationally with my company, Equip, and in fact, I'll leave Sunday for Guatemala. In fact, I'll be meeting next week with the president and the cabinet of Guatemala. And when I'm with these leaders alone, David, alone. I mean, no handlers, no media, nothing, but just alone. The question I ask them, which is, I think, the true servant leadership question, is: will the people be better off after you've served your term as a leader than they were before you got there?
Wow.
And I think that's, and when the answer is yes, you have been a good leader, it has been a good thing. Organizational leadership, good thing. When the answer is no, bad leader, bad thing.
The Christian faith is being attacked. 50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "The love of many will grow cold." And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. If you want to reach the show, davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. You're always welcome to send me an email. We find the emails are a blessing. We get blessed by emails, okay? I mean, you get those emails. We actually print them out. We have a little file, and it's like, let me rephrase. It's not this self-adoration thing. It's encouragement. It's like, yeah, okay, we're making a difference. So, like, say I'm calling in and sharing, that makes a difference. And you think, well, you know, you get a lot of this. Boy, I'll tell you one thing. I've had more warfare, spiritual warfare, since I've done this show than I think 3 years of doing the show in San Diego, which is really amazing. I'm more amazed than anybody else. But all the encouragement in the world's a blessing for us. We greatly appreciate it. davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Don't forget to check out the website, davidspoonmedia.com. So, you know, pretty much davidspoonmedia.com, davidspoon.com, all that stuff. That's all going to work just fine and dandy. Let's do one more, if we can, one more trivia question. This, you're going to have to find... I will only tell you it is right after the Sermon on the Mount. Who was the first person, what kind of person, was the first person healed in Matthew's gospel? You think, what? Who asks those questions? I remember doing a fundraiser, and this was one of the things that came up. Who was the first person that was healed in Matthew's gospel? I'm not talking about one or two. I'm talking about right after the Sermon on the Mount. What kind of person? Now that, don't go to Google. You got a Bible, or you can think it through. You can look at it in accordance. You can look at after Sermon on the Mount. You can check it out. Think it through. You'll think through it. If you think through it, you'll get it. 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. Okay, so now I'm going to continue. If somebody calls in, we'll break for it. But I'm going to continue because there's going to be a couple people that hear what I'm about to say, and they're going to go, ah. Okay, so I'm trying to stop you from going, ah, before it happens. Okay? I'm just trying to prevent that. Because that doesn't help anybody. We understand that truth is in front, the facts true. We call the truth facts, by the way. The world doesn't call them facts. The world calls whatever fact. I mean, they change facts all the time. They don't know the difference. But we believe that God knows how to establish truth. We believe that God communicates the truth. We believe Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by him. He is the light of the world. We believe that Jesus is the one mediator between God and men. Okay, got it. And so what he has to say is the basis of truth. Sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth. Truth is the beginning. Boom. God's word. Boom. Got it. Number two, we need to mix that with faith. Because if you know the truth and do nothing with it, what did Jesus say in regards to that? That's a person that listens to the words of Jesus, right? And doesn't utilize them is like building your house on the sand. Like, oops. If you build your house on the sand, guess what? A storm is going to come and you're going to get blown out. Bad call. Right? So we need to be using the words of Jesus. We need to be understanding the truth of God's word. Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. God created the universe. He can write a book, for crying out loud. Got that on a bumper sticker on my car. I get a lot of responses from that. Not all positive. Some positive. But a couple of negatives. That's life. Here's the bottom line. The truth is mixed with faith. We understand this, especially from Hebrews 4:1 and 2. That's how it profits us. That's how it helps us. But now, one of the things that we struggle with is our feelings come behind all this. And our feelings can be very deceptive. We know from Jeremiah, chapter 19, verse 7, about the deceptiveness of the heart. Boy, I hope I quoted that right. The bottom line is, we know that the heart is wicked and deceptive. And we know that there's a problem there and there's a difficulty in our hearts. So we want to input into our feelings so our feelings don't rule the day. And they can rule the day and they can be often wrong and are often deceived and often kind of tweaked might be a way to think of it. I want to share with you theologically what the scripture uses to help us understand how to get more on that track. Romans chapter 10, verse 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Moses writes this about the righteousness that is by the law. The person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven or who will descend into the deep. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith. See, the message of the truth concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Now, I know there's people right now going, relax. I am not a name it and claim it. I am not a positive confession guy. But I am this guy that looks at scripture and says, look, your words connect to your faith, which connects to the truth. You cannot separate these. And Romans chapter 5, verse 5 through 10 tells you the process of salvation is there's a message, the truth. There is faith, which is in your heart, and then the mouth gives affirmation by speaking that belief. And what we do, I'm not talking about speaking things and let a bicycle appear or let me win the lotto or any of that stuff. I'm talking about us speaking in such a way as to be in line or connected with Scripture. 2 Corinthians 4:13 is a pretty interesting passage. Paul writes, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have the same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. In other words, our words should be in concert with our faith, which is in concert with the truth. And that'll put a semi-kibosh, not a full kibosh, but a semi-kibosh on our feelings going nutsy cuckoo. So what I'm not trying to communicate to you is name it and claim it. I'm not trying to communicate, you know, wish it and have it. You know, see it, wish it, have it. You know, that's a book, by the way, from a cartoon. I'm not going into the positive. I am advocating believe the scripture, speak the scripture. Got that. But that is in no way for personal gain or anything like that. That is for personal affirmation and connection and for your own reiteration of your own faith. I'll tell you something. When you share your testimony, here's something that's amazing that a lot of people don't even realize. You speak your testimony with your mouth. Guess what other two ears hear you speaking your testimony? You do. And it solidifies and strengthens you in your core and in your faith and in your belief because you're hearing the very things that God has done in your life that you're sharing with somebody else. Think, man, Dave, you're a little passionate about this. I've only had a half a cup of coffee. Huh. The bottom line is you get these passages that like Mark 11 or Matthew 17, and people use them and abuse them. Jesus said, truly, I tell you, if you say to this mountain, throw yourself in the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, Jesus obviously makes connections between the things that we say and our faith. He just doesn't do it so that it's like God's like some kind of genie or he's Santa Claus or something. These are serious issues of faith. And we need to be serious people about them. And Jesus on more than one occasion, Mark 11 and Matthew 17 says, say unto the mountain, speak unto the mountain. There is a connection. In Jeremiah chapter 1, when Jeremiah said, I'm but a child, God said, don't say that. Don't say stuff like that. Why? Because it brings us down. You're not trying to sabotage your own faith. And if out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, one of the things you can be sure of is your words will reveal your heart. And if much of the things you have to say are doubt, bad, disbelieving God, then guess what's in your heart? But if your heart is genuinely full of faith and you are walking connected to the truth, that will also reflect out of what we say. For some reason, I think what's happened is, it's just my take, and a lot of people can disagree, and I understand that. But I think things like positive confession and name it and claim it have damaged the ability to look at something in scripture and say, you know what, we should speak that more wisely. And I think that's bad. I think that's terrible. I'm not going to let name it and claim it steal it from me. I'm not claiming it. I'm confessing it. I'm confessing that what God has to say is right. I believe it's right, and I should speak that it's right and make a concert between the truth, my faith, and my feelings, and make them connected by the words that I'm using. You know what's something? I'll just tell you this because we got to exit. Between your mouth and your heart is only one instrument. Between your heart and your mind is one main instrument. Your mouth. Connect them by what you say. That was what I meant to say. I need therapy. All right, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Most of my life, it feels like I've been running. The David Spoon Experience.
There was a pastor, now I use that word with some reservation, having been involved in ministry and having the privilege of planting seven churches throughout the United States and having three separate ordinations, I have a tremendous amount of respect for people who commit their lives into ministry. But whenever there's somebody on television or anywhere else that is a nut job, then I just call it like I see it. Okay, now that's what I call it. Call it like I see it. On the Sean Hannity show, roughly about 2 weeks ago, a reverend, so-called Reverend Oliver White was on the show, and Reverend Wright said this, and I'm going to repeat it because some of these things are just unbelievable. He said that Jesus was wrong about marriage, At least he didn't have the audacity to say he never said anything about marriage. He said Jesus was wrong about marriage and that marriage should be more than between a man and a woman. And then he proceeded to say this statement, ladies and gentlemen. He said this. Now, this isn't even the thing that's irritating. Then he proceeded to say this. If Jesus were alive today, he said, he would say, I didn't know it all. Now, this is a man who's supposed to be representing Jesus Christ as a minister. This guy's no minister. And if you want to say, well, that's judging, I'll take that judgment all day long. All day long, I'll take that judgment, no matter what anybody says. Here's a guy that says two things. One, Jesus was wrong about marriage. Two, if Jesus were alive today, any person who proclaims or professes to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ and questions whether Jesus Christ is alive today or not is not a minister, but a false teacher. I don't care. I don't care if you like it. I don't care if you think that's mean. That's irrelevant. Facts are facts. And here's the thing that just overwhelms me. This overwhelms me, ladies and gentlemen. Any person who is in public office, now this goes with this, all three of these things go together. Any person who is in public office who changes their convictions about same-sex marriage because another family member has made a decision to go into the lifestyle of being gay or lesbian, any person who changes their convictions, their biblical Christian convictions, based on another family member changing their status into a gay or lesbian lifestyle, and then that person then changes their Bible convictions to accommodate their family member, is not fit to be a Christian. That's right. I said it.
If Jesus.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. If you want to email us, davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. I dare anybody to take that on. Website, davidspoonmedia.com. Boy, who was that fiery preacher? That guy was fiery. We have been discussing it at a certain amount of length, connecting our faith with the truth and then connecting that same faith with our heart and making sure that our goofy feelings don't go nutty cuckoo. So while I'm talking to you and even live on the stream, I'm looking up that Jeremiah passage because anytime I quote a passage and I think maybe I got that wrong address, you might think, well, why is it important to get the right address? Because I want to know where it is. I want to know what it says. I want to know what's going on in the scripture. And so I gave you a passage and I thought it might be wrong. And I guess I was wrong on that one because I think it might be actually Jeremiah 17:9, which is not what I quoted you. And that's what I should have quoted. I quoted you 19:7. Oh, my goodness. I'm starting to flip things around. That's bad. Jeremiah 17:9 was what I was trying to quote to you. And that says this, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? So when I did say Jeremiah, it was Jeremiah, but Jeremiah 17:9, not 19:7. So 17:9 tells us, hey, in our heart there, in our old man, in our old nature, there's some problems. There's some yucky. And that yucky gets reinforced by other yucky things. And one of the things that's a reinforcer on some of that is our very own words. Again, we need to be aware of this. Not, I can't stress this enough, not name it and claim it, but man, we've got to get into a biblical mindset of speaking the truth with our mouth, because that's part of our salvation, as Romans chapter 10 makes clear. It's part of the prayer process. I mean, let's just be honest, the majority of your prayers, you're speaking. Right? I mean, that's just a truth. I'm just trying to really zero in on the power of words themselves, because when Proverbs 18:21 says life and death are in the power of the tongue, it's not for the fun of it. Just thought I'd throw in an extra proverb. What do you want to put in for 1821? I don't know. What do you think? Try not to throw a dart in somebody's eye. I don't think that's how they came up with proverbs. I think it was the Holy Spirit leading people. And when you look at things like this, you have to understand something like Psalm 33, verses 6 through 9. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. What happened, folks? God said in the beginning, what? Let there be light. So God spoke, and there was nothing. And then he spoke, and then there was something. So there was no matter and no existence, nothing. Which, again, if you get this involved into a theological construct and argue with somebody who's into the Big Bang Theory and so on and so forth, the real theory is everything started off with nothing and then there was something. How'd that happen? Anyway, in our realm, we understand that God is the agent, the active agent that creates and causes all things. God spoke and then there was light. No matter, he speaks, and then there is matter in existence. Psalm 33, 6 through 9. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth. The stars came into being, the sun came into being, the earth came into being, all of this came into being. He gathers the water of the seas into jars. He puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world respect him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. Howza! Talk about the power of words. And that's why just the other day, yesterday, I was talking about not complaining. Because when we're complaining, the power of those words are bad. That's why I did this teaching today. Because we need to be aware that sometimes when we speak, we're speaking the wrong direction, the wrong way, and hurtful things. And if you don't understand this, I encourage you to speak life to your spouse, your children, your grandchildren, your parents, your grandparents, your friends. Say something from truth from within the framework of scripture about how much God loves them and watch their face light up. You'll see it. You'll see the power of words with your own eyes if you use God's truth and speak life to a person. Any person in your, I don't care if it's a boyfriend, I don't care if it's a girlfriend, I don't care if it's a classmate, just pull one thing from the word, one thing, how, you know, God loves us so much that he cares for us so much. God knows what you're going through. I mean, that's just an absolute truth for every person that exists. God knows what you're going through. Say that. Watch their entire countenance change. That's the power of words. Well, are you trying to say that you know, words are this or this? Listen, I don't know if you know this or not, but words are very powerful, which is why we have the Word of God, which is why Jesus is called the Word. All right? It's just that theories have been used and abused, and so then the church doesn't want to talk about it. It's like sex. Now, you didn't see that one coming. No, it's like sex. You think I'm kidding? God invented sex. No, God invented lovemaking. Whatever. God invented sex. He made a man. He made a woman. You put them together, they can have a third. Bing! Who created that? God. People are like, oh, whoa, you can't say that. He says that. I don't say any. It's his word. All my material's at least 2,000 years old, if not 3,500 years old or 4,000 years old. Bottom line. These are things that are set in Scripture for us to see, to know, to understand the power and the way that God operates in people's lives. And one of the things that he has given us is this power in the words that we speak. And those words also impact ourselves. How many ears do you got? How many ears? If you're most people in the general course of society are born with one mouth and two ears. but there's a lot of communication going on, and every time you speak, you hear it twice. Wow. Think about little things like that. Like, wow, that's a big testimony. Yep. That's why we want our words to be more in agreement with God than with ourselves. because I'm an idiot. I would rather quote God because he's not an idiot. He knows what's going on. Psalm 107, verse 1 through 2. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe. We're supposed to tell. We're supposed to share. We're supposed to talk. And those things are reinforcing our faith. In fact, we're supposed to give thanks. In fact, I'm not even going down this road, but 1 Thessalonians 5. I mean, 18, 19, 20, or 16, 17, 18. Boy, I'm losing my mind. 16, 17, 18, it's just like, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. People are searching high and low to find the will of God specifically for their life. But in general, the will of God is everybody giving thanks in the things that you go through, trusting that God is working this together, putting it together for good. Maybe it's not good at the moment, but it will become that. And you can certainly be thankful in advance. You don't have to wait till it turns good to say thank you. So if that's the general will of God and we're not doing that, why is he ever going to tell you the specific will? Well, here's my general will. I want you to be thankful in the processes of everything. Okay, but I want you to tell me, Lord, specifically what I'm supposed to do. Well, why don't you do what I just told you to do generally? Well, okay, but I want my specifics. Okay, but why don't you do what I told you to do generally and then go from there?
Oh.
Oh. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. So the bottom line is this. In all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You want the will of God? There it is. But that doesn't give me any. God holds your answers for the specifics, but there are some things he asks of us. I don't think all that he's done for us, it's inappropriate to be thankful through all we go through. I don't do it well, but I don't think it's inappropriate for God to ask. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, taking a 23-hour break. Then tomorrow, expository, don't go anywhere.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.